Whoa. What are all these boxes? Where are they? What's going on? What's all that stuff for? Welcome to Dads Being Dads, episode 188, where we are not sure if we're going to be able to continue the show, what with the net neutrality failing, and I'm not sure this is going to cost us too much money. So, he's Randy, and I'm Jason. So, let's get these episodes in while we can before...
And, well, to hear the rest of the shows, you're going to have to send $10 each.
$10?
742 Evergreen Terrace.
Each person or each show?
Each show.
$10 per show, huh?
From each listener.
Yeah.
Send okay. $1 to Happy Dude. Yep.
Let me ask you, are you a Patreon supporter of anybody?
That's a good question. No.
Okay. Did you hear? Have you heard about the Patreon?
I know of the Patreon, yeah. It's just laziness. It's not like I don't appreciate people.
You're getting... having some guilt about your lack of Patreon support.
Maybe. And this leads into some money conversations I wanted to have about a certain book we've been both listening to.
Yeah, that was two books ago for me. But we can talk about it.
We could start now if you want.
But did you hear about the Patreon debacle? It's sort of interesting.
I have not. So are they stealing money? Is that what's happening?
So no. Basically, if I were to... Here's the I think like 10,000 foot view. Okay, for those listeners out there who don't know what Patreon is, it's a way for people like us, a lot of podcasts do it, or websites do it, a lot of blogs do it, people that like create content a lot. Basically, I hate to call myself an artist. I mean, is this art? I don't know. It's a media. We deliver it. We do it for free. We have a little bit of costs. I don't really have any anymore. I had a little startup cost, but people that have their own blogs, their own websites, where they provide content, articles about whatever it may be, from biking to Dungeons and Dragons to you name it. They do product reviews, they do whatever. They have costs associated with it. They use their time to other podcasts, right? They set up this, they use Patreon and they donate money to those sites. So basically, if we were to set up a Patreon, we would have an interface where you guys would be able to, or women, it's not just for men, Not just for dads.
Are we doing that? Is that what you're suggesting?
No. I'm not suggesting it. But it's kind of crazy what they did. So basically, if I were to give a dollar to a website, right? And if I had five different websites that I gave a dollar to,
yeah,
once a month, Patreon would deduct from my bank account $5. Yeah. And then they would pay, they would take their whatever transaction fee, which I think was anywhere between 5% and 10%.
Yeah.
And then that would be, and then they would take the remainder of that. So you take, let's say 15% off that. So then you have 85 cents for five sites. You'd give the 85 cents out to each of those sites. Assuming everything was equal, right? It's just for easiness.
Sure.
Patreon came by and said, you know what? This isn't working out for us anymore. We're now going to charge per transaction. We're going to charge a transaction fee for each time we have a transaction.
Right.
And we're going to take the fee away from the supporter and we're going to provide it to the donator. We're going to make the donator pick it up. So now if I didn't change a thing, my dollar would now become $1.15 per person five times. So now it would be $5.75.
Something.
And if I pay a transaction fee on the outgoing, which I don't really understand that part of it, because who pays a transaction fee anymore?
Okay.
Is it clipping in and out for you?
No.
Okay, you can hear me fine?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, well, it's like clipping in and out for me. I don't know why.
All right.
But anyways, so basically all the fees went up for all the donators, and so people got pissed and stopped donating. But Patreon was like, but the content creators are still getting the same amount of money, although right. We need more money to support ourselves. We're getting the same amount of money. The Patreon supporters are getting more money. I mean, the content providers are getting more money.
They're getting more.
Yeah. But people just got pissed because, like, all of a sudden, no, now you're charging us more money. The content creators actually started getting a little less because they were paying the way the fees were breaking out, because it was a per transaction fee, not per, like one time lumps, like once a month fee.
Yeah, that's human nature. I mean, they probably forgot they had the thing in there donating, and then they all of a sudden they get this thing that says it's more, and they're like, hey, what's this? You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's quite a few websites now, or there's quite a few places where when you donate money, if you use a credit card, there's an extra checkbox that says, hey, guess what, chumps? The credit card companies don't give a pile of rat turds that we are charitable, and they're still going to charge us fees. So if you check this box, your transaction of 25 doll hairs will be padded. The transaction fees that we get. I can still see you moving. I'm not frozen. Are you frozen?
I don't know. You heard me say that you're frozen?
I did.
I don't know. It's weird. Maybe it's on my end.
Your computer's messed up, and you should probably rehabilitate it before we move on.
Let me start just shutting stuff down.
Yeah, you do that. While Jason is busy shutting things down, I can rant for a while, and he can nod and mumble, and maybe we'll hear me.
Well, I just thought it was interesting, because then it totally backfired on them, because then people just started to stop donating, and then the content creators were like, you jerks, we don't care about the 15 cents. Like, we'd rather have, you know, let's keep it the same, or let's communicate this better. And so it worked out terrible for everyone. And
it's not a round number. I get it. You think you're donating a dollar, and then all of a sudden you're donating $1.15 without permission?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to fly. Be like, no.
No.
No. I'm going to donate 85 cents.
Yeah.
Or 86 cents. And you can do with that what you will. And then it'll bump it up to a dollar, and then I'll feel better about it. Because at first it was a little, when you checked the box on those charity sites, it was a little bit like, ooh, I was ready to give $50, but you want me to give $52.50?
Yeah. That's not even number.
Yeah. Can I make it 48?
And it was like just something easier when I did my accounting at the end of the year to be like, oh, I gave $50 here. Now I got to give $50. Yeah. And what do I do with the $2.50? What category do I put that when I do my budget?
It messes
transaction fees? That's weird.
So, honestly, what we really should be doing is going after the credit card companies and be like, hey, chumps.
Yeah.
These are charitable foundations. You can't like let it fly for their transactions. You got plenty of other transactions. Why can't we let the charity ones through?
Right.
It could be some kind of, I mean, they're a business that deals in just skimming off the top. Like, I'm pretty sure they could let it slide. Any banking, credit cards, investment things. I honestly don't understand those careers. It's just like, hey, people, why don't you just give me a huge pile of money?
Yeah. Or
we're going to create this industry where there's a stream of money flowing past us. And every once in a while, we're just kind of going to dip our hands in a little deeper and take some of it out.
But I mean, I get it. Like some of the financial advisors and stuff, they went to school, they educated themselves. So they have a skill and a knowledge set that I don't have. So I'm paying for that skill and knowledge set. Now,
I don't mean to offend any of them that might be listening.
No, you're right. But they make a lot of money.
They make a lot of money. And a lot of it's, I'm not going to say guesswork per se, but it's not a guarantee.
No. You know? Right.
And they're going to be like, oh, you should do this. Well, you know, it's just my recommendation. I'm sorry I lost your life savings.
Yeah. Oh, I totally didn't expect any of that to happen. And now, hope you can find a job. I'm 72 years old and I'm bad hip. What do you want from me?
Meanwhile, when do I see my fees? Good thing I took those out first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And not that didn't happen to me. I'm just watch a lot of movies.
No, that didn't happen to me either.
Did it?
No. I didn't lose money to some bad financial advisor. I did work for a company where the CEO went to jail for cooking the books. That was fun.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know what the craziest part about that whole thing was?
What?
All the people below him, when they sold...
They knew it.
Well, it doesn't matter if they knew it or not. They, including the CFO, so they all went and they got bonuses when they sold basically the assets of this bankrupt company now because, you know, the guy was everything. They sold the company to another company, six-figure bonuses.
Yeah.
And you're like, sure. What? How do they? I lost a ton of money. I don't understand.
Republicans, man. They're the worst. The, Do you remember back in the internet age when people used to like the backdating of stock options was a thing? Do you remember this?
It never happened to me either. But
backdating. Yeah. I think I saw it happen and I knew about it. And I heard people talking about it. I'm like, isn't what you're saying illegal?
Yeah.
In some way. I mean, it sounds fascinating, but strange. Yeah, people do weird things for money, which is the topic of the show. You know, and every once in a while you have to imagine what it's like to be sort of poverty stricken. Although these people are clearly not poverty stricken, so that's very much just a weird greed thing.
Yeah, they're the opposite of poverty stricken.
Yeah. Right? I guess, okay, that's interesting. In some behaviors, you know, you're poverty stricken and greedy people sort of behave the same way, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
One is like survival and one is just bizarre, well, greed. So, yeah. Hmm. Well, Christmas is coming up.
But that's good news. Do you want to pivot on that money talk? Now that I got you on the book, The Opposite of Spoiled, Raising Kids Who Are Grounded, Generous and Smart About Money by Ron Lieber.
Oh, what is that the name of the book? I don't remember.
Yeah, that's the name of the book.
Even though I'm listening to it right now. I think I've been listening to it. I'm not done with it yet. It's reinforced a lot of interesting ideas.
Yeah.
My one takeaway is I immediately went and had another talk with the kids about all of our budget. Like, let's say all of our cash flow. And literally what that means. He did something fun. The author did.
Yeah.
He went to the bank and took out his entire monthly income in $1 bills. Yeah, it took a little bit of work because it was something like $12,000 or something.
Yeah,
crazy.
It took him like a couple of days, right?
What?
He had to request them to do it. Like he said, I want $12,000 in ones. All right, we'll come back in a week. Like,
I mean, that's a lot of ones.
Oh yeah.
So let's just say it's $10,000, right?
Yeah.
So then you could make stacks of 10. Because it makes it easier to count. I had the kids doing this with cards while we were trying to figure out what the right amount was.
Mm-hmm.
Stacks of $10, and you'd need $1,200 of those, right?
Yeah.
To make $12,000. It's like, whoa, okay, that's not enough. So make stacks of 100, or group the tens in groups of 10. So make stacks of 10, and then put them in groups of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And you need 120 of those stacks. Like, you can picture that a little better. So you've got these funny little stacks of 10 $1 bills, and sort of, you know how you alternate them and you make them orthogonal so you can stack them?
Yep.
Right? You make 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, up to 10. 120 of those. Isn't that bonkers?
Yeah, it's bonkers.
And that's like every month. So the point of this was, he said, here you go, kids. Here's all the money we get every month. Or that I earn, right in quotes. And then you start splitting it up. Taxes. Right, you take out all the taxes. You put those aside in a pile for taxes.
Like savings. That pile on fire.
Like that pile. Like that pile on fire. Right. You draw pictures of like homeless people and Democrats and
roads.
Moochers, right.
Democrats.
Yeah. No. I asked the kids because we went through this and I said taxes. You know, what kids? What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think taxes pay for? And you know, they had some hilarious answers, but my son did. He said water. The water. You know, so yeah, I was like, yeah, you're close. Yeah, like the pipes, how the water gets to the house. That's a pretty good one. The water, it's pumped up from the ground. You know, we do pay a water bill, but the taxes do pay for quite a bit of the infrastructure for water.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all supported by the water bills. But yeah, roads are the probably the one that people pick out the most, but that's certainly not the highest expenditure. What do you think the highest tax expenditure is? You should know this from going to all your town meetings that you attend.
Oh, good. I thought if it's military, I'm going to be depressed. Is it defense?
Oh, for the federal government? It is certainly the military. It's like 55% of the budget.
So what are you talking about taxes? You mean municipal, like local?
Yeah. So we started local. We talked about there's local taxes, there's state tax, there's town taxes, state taxes, federal taxes. So right off the bat, we were talking about
town. Okay. So you skipped the whole federal. It's kind of education or public safety.
Yeah, it's always education.
It's education. Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah. Almost always education.
Okay, good. All right.
I hope we're not spending more on the cops than we are on the teachers.
Well, okay. I could see that in our areas, maybe in an urban setting, you might have more on public safety.
more guns. That'll teach them.
Well, I'm also talking firemen.
firemen, I guess.
Ambulances and stuff.
Firemen are less important these days. I mean, they're important, but
yeah.
Building codes and materials and stuff and making things. Anyway, okay. So, you know, school. And I had to explain to him, like, look, we all pay taxes, and the taxes really help pay for your school. Even though some people, like our neighbors down the street, they don't have kids, their tax money still goes to pay for your school,
mm-hmm.
right? And they gave me the high eyebrows, look, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And before we had you kids, right, we were paying taxes that were paying for other kids to go to school, so... School would probably be really expensive if we had to pay it all up front at once when you had kids, but would that be fair? Would that be, that's really the, you know, pull your own weight sort of back to the Republicans. Sorry. Okay, I'll stop with the politics.
Do it. Yeah.
It's fun these days. I don't know why, but that's the way it should be. You've one kid. There you go. 10 grand, whatever it costs.
What?
So we moved on per kid for schooling. That's what I mean.
Oh,
so there's taxes. Then the next big pile was savings, you know, taken right out of your paycheck kind of thing. Then there was like health insurance and this is all pre sort of take home pay, right? Where does the money go? So, you know, moving on, right? We did a first pass at this. The kids got bored. The pile, we used cards. We actually used the apples to apples cards because I couldn't find any cards that I had enough of them to kind of represent the right number of dollars with a multiplier. So I didn't have, you know, 10,000 cards or whatever I needed.
Because what you don't want to do is use different denominations.
You do not want to use different denominations.
Right. Because you can use Legos. You could use this Legos, this, you know, you could do
marbles or something. Yeah.
In marbles, yeah.
But pennies, I think, have the good same one. Value. Because pennies is an interesting one. Yeah. You might be able to get 12,000 pennies.
Yes.
12,000.
Because I think it's important to show the, like, you need to have a macro amount of stuff, right? You need to have a big amount of things because to make it real.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, if you use like denominations of thousands and you had 12 of them and you're like, all right, two of them go over here to taxes. One of them goes over here to savings. You know, one of them goes to the electric company. One of them goes here. One of them goes there. You're like, oh, all right. So you have one for the house. Okay.
Right.
It doesn't have the same impact as you're showing these big stacks of
pennies is interesting. Cause if you have a roll, let's use the example of $10,000. I know I'm being just bear with me. Maybe your jaws are on the floor. Maybe you're like, that guy's broke. That guy's rich. I don't know. I'm making it up. Just for the sake of argument here. So let's say it's 10,000 a month.
Okay.
How many pennies is that? So you'd need a roll of pennies is 100, right? Or is it 50? No, it's 100. Is it 50? How many pennies are in a roll of pennies?
I don't know. You need 12,000 pennies, though.
Let's pretend a roll is 100.
Not for crying out loud. How do I know? Then you would need,
is it 50? So you'd need 240 rolls. No, sorry. I'm going with 20 again. You'd need 200 rolls. That's a lot of rolls of pennies when you start breaking them open.
Yeah.
I'm not counting all those pennies, but we could break them open after we sort them out. So, certainly don't use different denominations was the point. Because you could use Monopoly money and be like, boom, there it is, one bill, $1,000, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't teach them anything. They don't understand the multipliers. But the key, people may be yelling at the radio or whatever and saying, it's not a radio, yelling, you know, are you telling them everything? Because this upsets people, right? Did I tell them exactly dollar amounts, what I earn every month, what our household income is between my wife and I? Yes, I did. And I told them the exact correct amounts about what we save, what goes to taxes, what we pay for insurance, how much we spend on groceries. And we started ticking through all the line items. I brought out credit card statements to show them what we bought. And it gets, you know... There's a downside to this because you start reading your credit card statements aloud to your kids going, remember that night we went out to dinner last week? Well, that was like $200. My Lord, why did we go, right? Like, that's a waste. Yeah. And they're looking through the list. And what's this one? What's this one? This one's big. And that was me going to the beer store. I guess I could have skipped that. And then, you know, and you're digging through this and go, well, there's nowhere in here did I buy them a $200 Lego set, right? They're last on my list, which is fine. But then, you start to feel a little bit more, like everything you spend, just, wow, that's wasteful. Did I really need all that? I don't know.
That's sitting on a shelf somewhere. I don't even know where that is.
Yeah.
That broke. That one didn't even taste good. Yeah, no, I mean.
The dinner's out. Yeah. We're definitely a waste. I mean, we could have bought a week's worth of groceries with that money. And it's nuts. It's a little bit nuts.
You can't beat yourself over that stuff too much. When you look back at those things, you're like,
it's nice to review.
Stupid, but.
Yeah, it's nice to review because even if you just kind of cut back a little bit, you get a little more conscious of it. You're like, I'm not going to buy that $7 coffee because I can just save the $7 for later. And, you know, I don't know. Get one next week. So we didn't get to finish it because the kids lost patience and interest very quickly. But my plan, my takeaway from that book as well is to start giving them an allowance. I have not been doing that.
Oh, yeah. All right.
And my precursor to giving the allowance was to go through this whole talk.
Yeah.
Because I think it was kind of important as part of it. And one of the huge pieces that I left out that they talk about a lot in the book is the whole is the giving aspect, right? So we basically have the earnings, the savings. You have the earnings that come in, savings that go out. Some portion of that money is for giving and some portion is for spending. And how you divvy up the save, spend, give piles is kind of a personal preference, up to your family choices, all that stuff. But I'd like to follow that pattern with them and designate those piles that way. Because I think it'd be really fun to let them be like, here's your saving pile. You're never allowed to touch that ever. Here's your giving pile. You can give that away to whoever you like and whatever organization you like. And we'll talk that through or write up some thing or think about what the process is for deciding where to give the money and when and how much. And their spending pile, you know, that'll be interesting.
Because yeah.
They could spend the spending pile on savings if they wanted to. Or they could even take the spending pile and put it in the giving pile. It's up to them. But they can't put the giving pile in the spending pile.
So a couple of things. You can't say giving. Right. So a couple of things they said to do was with the save pile, you had to give them, you had to come up with a goal. Like, because if they're just saving the money, it just doesn't have any, there's no motivation there and they don't really understand it. So for them, it was for them, the author had his kids have a goal that they were saving up to. It's kind of interesting. It's sort of like, but on the other, so I don't know how to navigate that yet. I'm definitely 2018. I agree with you. We're going to restart allowance and it's not going to be tied to chores.
No,
but I am going to have the kids doing more chores. They're going to have more responsibility chores. And I'm not going to, one is not going to be tied to the other. Like not like maybe dotted line. I don't know how the dotted line will work yet. I haven't flushed this all out yet. I got to sort, sit down with my wife and sort this out too, but
right. I mean, some people think it'd be like kind of a punishment thing. If they don't do them, they go, hey, I agree with you though. I think the chores are just something they should be doing as part of the household.
Yeah.
And the allowance is there to teach them about money, not
right.
to
reward That's what the book said, for, underscored. Right. Yeah. You've got to teach them about money. And the only way to teach them about money is to give them money. Right. Yeah. So, but I don't know what the saving thing. My son has done this a couple times for a couple of big Lego sets. He's like, well, that Lego set I want, $200 or whatever. And then he was able to save money. He had a little easy because he was just like, hey, everybody give me money. And then we just had some family members that was like, oh, okay, here, why don't you sweep this floor? Okay, there's $20. You're like, what? You get 20 bucks for sleeping a 10-foot room? Like, no way. That's not fair wages. So, there was some of that little grifting, I think that is. I don't know if that's grifting, but a little like easy money he got on the side. So now he's older. I'm going to make sure. That doesn't happen. Of course, now the Lego set that he wants is $350, not $200.
All right. I think you've elevated his expectations a little bit here with the.
Part of it, I think, is that he's like, oh, I raised it $200 easy. It took me like 2 weeks. I just had to ask everybody I knew. And,
I think you're allowed to, any income he gets, I think, needs to get split up the same way. So if he gets birthday money, or Christmas money, or whatever, it doesn't go straight into the spend pile.
Well,
it needs to hit the shredder and go like, no, that's income. It needs to go break up into savings, giving, spending. Now, there's one difference here that I think you and I are thinking about, which is the save pile for me is a never spend pile.
Well, you have never
like spent. Literally, it's like retirement money. You just get to watch that pile get bigger, but you never ever get to touch it. The saving for a Lego set pile is the spend pile.
That's discretionary. That's different than you and I have. No, see, to me, the spend pile is like, oh, you want to buy lunch at school today? Get your own money. For me, that's going to be our spend pile. Because right now, we buy lunch for the kids once a month. I'm thinking I'm going to take that off the table, but they're going to be getting allowance. If you want snack card every other Thursday at school, if you want to get popcorn, well, go get your money. You know, that's out of your pile. I'm not going to give you like the dollar here, dollar there anymore. That's going to be in your spend pile.
Yeah. It can still be both. I'm just saying there's an additional, like, I mean, call it the retirement pile if you want, but that's what it is.
Well, yeah, they did kind of use the example of a car. So for the save pile.
It really drives me bonkers because it's a huge expense that everyone thinks they have to make. It loses its value instantly. Ugh, such a waste.
Okay. It's not to get dragged into this conversation.
They've used it quite a bit as teenagers. Teenagers buy their own car, buy their own gas, blah, blah. They use the house example if you want. I don't know.
I'm going to give my oldest car as soon as I can get him in one.
Of course you are.
Yeah, because that way he can help shuttle the kids around.
That was the thing they talked about. Yeah. That's not going to go wrong at all.
It helped. When I was oldest of four, and I had a car pretty quick. Well, I had a car quick. And I think I helped. I know I did. Because I wasn't like...
You didn't terrorize your siblings in that thing at all?
Oh, of course I did. I terrorize my kids now.
Great.
What are you talking about? My kids' friends all think, he's got the fun car. All right, he's picking us up on the fun car. I love this car.
Normalizing bad behavior is what you're doing. Giggling that I speed.
I didn't say speed. Of course you do. That Flera field is dirt. I mean, the driveway in the Flera is Flera is dirt. It's fun to drive a million miles an hour on that.
Okay, a million. That's not speeding. Go on.
So where were we? So, okay, are you going to do the jar thing?
You know, this is what I've been looking for. I actually want to make it into a Christmas present.
Okay.
I need containers.
Yep.
And I kind of want to add a ledger.
A ledger. All right.
Yeah. So they can track, like a check register to go with their containers.
Oh, okay. All right.
So they could have a container for each, they could have a register for each container. The savings one just always goes up.
Yeah.
And I can start giving them interest on the savings one, maybe.
I was wondering, that was my next question, if you're going
to
do this.
Yeah, that'll give them an incentive to save more, because they get more interest on more savings, and then eventually I'll go broke. And the giving one, they can track where they gave things to periodically, and the spending one, same thing. They can, you know, they can log everything that goes in, date it, and then track what they spent it on, and give it the subtraction thing. Because it's nice to review, same way we're talking about the review for the... For our household expenses, once you start reading it, they're like, oh, man, $200 Lego set.
Yeah.
I don't even know where that is. Like, the pieces fell down the radiator. And
No. To his credit, all of the big expensive Lego sets that he has, he puts them together and he keeps them together.
And he keeps them, okay.
He likes the big car ones. So, like, and they tend to
How many $200 Lego sets does this kid have?
None. Well, one, but the other ones aren't as much. But
that is affluence right there.
What?
What?
I didn't hear what you said.
Opulence.
You're still clipping out on me. I don't know. I'm hearing like I'm maybe 87% of what you're here saying. Yeah. Where were we with this? The interest thing. The interest thing was so we didn't really explain what the jars were. The book also recommends you set up three jars, one's for saving, one's for
spending,
and one's for charity.
Giving.
And that you put the money in there. It says don't use a bank account. Younger kids don't really get it, and it's not going to be like the money's disappeared. It's gone. It doesn't make any like it's not. You need the tangible things for them to really relate to it. It's harder for them, especially at younger ages, to look at this stuff as in a bank account. It doesn't make any sense. In fact, a couple years ago, we opened bank accounts for all my kids, and we haven't done anything with them because it's like, oh, there the money is, and we periodically put money into them that they get for gifts or whatever, but they have no sense of what's in there. And it's not even also. So if I were to open them up from all of them and say, here's all your bank accounts, my son has like a lot more money than his than the other kids. And I don't even know why. It's just the way the gifts worked out. And, I don't know. I just don't, I really don't even know. I can't track back and find out why he has more money.
See, you need
but he does. And so that would be awkward because be like, well, why does he have, you know, X amount of dollars? So. The book recommends you set these three jars up and then you, like Randy said, you portion them out how you agree upon it. The next thing it says to do, one of the people recommended paying interest into the savings jar. So the more money that's in the savings jar. But did you hear what they said about the interest, which was interesting?
Yes. Well, I remember one guy was paying a truckload of interest up front.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it tapered off. Because he was going broke.
Yeah, he would go broke. Yeah, he paid like, was it 25% interest on the first $50, 10% interest on the up to 100, and then after that it was like 5%.
Like monthly.
Yeah. It was like, whoa. I mean, you quickly get to the $1,500.
But I think they were spending their savings pile. That's the part I did not agree with or understand, because the spend pile is the spend pile, but I don't understand how a save pile is an arbitrary spend it later pile. Like, I don't like that at all. Because I don't like the mentality of people talk about this all the time. I'm going to open up a college fund because if I don't go to college, I can spend it on something else. Or I can always cash out my 401k. Or, you know, the IRA is great if you need to buy a house. It's like, no, that's not what that is for, people. Like, you've heard people say this.
I know. Yes. I
know people that have cashed out their 401ks because they were
Wait, what?
that, you know, when they were younger, they're like, oh, I needed to pay the first and last month's rent on this apartment. I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Come on, really? You know people that have cashed out their 401k for
I know people that have cashed out their 401k. Yeah, well, younger, not recently, but
wow.
Who knows? If they did these days, they wouldn't tell us. When I say these days, I mean our age group.
Yeah. I mean, that's when, like, you have a serious illness or somebody you have to, like, all of a sudden.
Serious problems, yeah. Yes.
You're in dire straits, I would say. But
I would say. So, yeah, to me, those savings things are, like, forever savings, especially because the idea is that you put the money in and then you live off the interest when it gets big enough. You never take the money out.
Well, that's yours. That's like, yeah, that's like, you know, retirement from your career type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. But that's what we're teaching them. We're teaching them to save a portion of their income and literally never spend it.
All right.
We're trying to get them in the habit of saying, if I earn money, you shave X percent off of it and you never touch it.
So all your savings that you do, and this may be a personal question, and maybe if you're not comfortable answering it, I'll answer it. But not like, so well, let me ask you this. Do you have savings that you do that is not, that is after tax? You know what I mean? So I have my pre-tax money, but we also save money beyond that into some after-tax. So I don't do as much as I could pre-tax because I do some after-tax. Does that make as much sense?
I do as much as I can pre-tax and I do some after-tax.
Let me rephrase that. I hit the, and,
that's what I'm saying.
This is a little sensitive, right? I feel a little bragging saying this, right? I hit the cap. Sure. I hit the annual cap for the federal amount that I can do pre-tax.
Yeah, me as well. Yeah.
But I don't do it all through work.
Oh, I see. Sure. You do like an IRA or something.
Yeah. So, but then I also save, we also save money after that. Like
those are taxes. Two separate things.
And, like you know maybe I buy stocks or whatever and, you know, different sort of investments, different IRAs, different,
I mean, I'm not a financial planner here, but you know those are two separate limits, right?
For what? What
do you mean? 401k limit versus IRA limit.
Well, what's IRA pre-tax?
A Roth IRA is post, a traditional IRA is pre.
Yes, right. I know there are different limits.
Okay. But the 401k limit is totally isolated to your job. You can hit that limit and not be...
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, savings... Do you ever tap into it? Have you ever?
Have I ever?
Yeah.
I mean, certainly, this is an age thing, right? So, in my 20s, did I even have any savings?
Yeah.
Very little. Have I ever taken out of my 401ks? No. Have I ever touched any of my retirement accounts? No.
Mm, okay.
Were they growing as quickly as they should have been when I was younger? Huh. No.
Huh.
Now that I'm okay, but you asked, so again, this is very sensitive because people don't understand that as you get older and you sort of collect goods and you get your, you know, you establish your career and you have lower expenses because maybe you have a mortgage now that you got many years ago and things are less expensive, and you're earning a little more money because you're just older and you got raises over many years.
Yeah.
It's you're following me, right?
I'm following you, but you can flip it for me. So go on. My expenses are way more now than they were when I was to win my 20s and whatnot.
Sure. It becomes a little more, I guess you just, all of a sudden you're sort of, you have a little more cash flow.
Well, we have a lot less cash flow than we did because my wife doesn't work.
Because your wife doesn't work. My wife works,
but my wife's not making, you know, full-time salary money, right? So.
Okay, so our situation was a little bit different.
Yeah.
Because where our income difference was much larger.
Okay. Like,
so my wife's career wasn't bringing in the same income that mine was or is.
Okay.
So I'll put it this way. Since she stopped working when a year before my son was born.
Yeah.
Not a year, a little while. I very much made up for more than one time over what she was making. That makes sense.
Yeah. It makes sense.
So whatever we had lost has been recovered and then some. Okay. So the point is when I say things like when I was trying to answer your question, yes, I save as much as I can. I also, as much as I can, tax-wise, benefit, tax benefit-wise.
Yeah, tax shelter.
I also save more, and I consider that savings also untouchable.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
When do I have a like a large, so there's a fourth category. There's a big purchase savings.
Right. Yeah, I guess so, that's where I was kind of getting around to asking.
And like this is where I feel like a rich person, right? And if somebody were to ask, if my kids asked us if I was rich, I would say yes. Because quite literally anything that I wanted to buy, I would just do it. Now, there's two sides to that. One, I don't want to buy a lot of things. And the things that I do want to buy are usually like bikes or something.
Practical, not luxury items.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people say like, oh, you just go out and buy a boat. No, I don't like boats. I don't want to buy a boat. Right? We don't have a vacation home. Yeah. Right? You have to go through the list of the things we don't have. Right? We live in a modestly sized house. It's like 1,800 square feet.
Yeah.
One car. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you live well within your means. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you're very smart.
But that's a very important aspect of all this.
Right. Right.
When I say that I'm rich, it's because we have everything we want. And we can get anything we want because there's certain things that whatever we want isn't as much as like what somebody else wants.
Right.
And that was an interesting thing to sort of describe to the kids when I was splitting up the fake piles of money.
Yeah.
Because you end up with this take-home pile. And it's some size, some subset of the original pile. And you say, the biggest chunk of this pile is usually like housing. You know? Some people easily take half this pile and they throw it away on rent.
Right.
Right? This whole pile is gone. Like whatever amount it is. Some people take more than half. You know, there's recommendations about how much is the maximum you should be using on rent. And certainly at some point in my life, I was taking a huge chunk of that pile and throwing it away on rent. That's changed. You know, our housing costs now are a much smaller portion of that pile. So we have these freedoms, these excess cash flow to do kind of whatever we want, including giving it away. What was my original point? Yeah, so talking about the savings, yes. I guess I think of it as four categories. There's the...
Yeah, I guess I'm in that category. I guess I agree with that.
Yeah. Okay.
So we have, you know, the day-to-day spend money. We have the savings money. We have the charity money. And then we have the save money that we can get to. Like it's accessible save money versus, you know, without paying a penalty on it. Right.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Holly and I were smart about money, or we were also like kind of lucky that we were smart about money. You know, we got good advice very young that was like, oh, save as much as you can now because there's a little thing called compound interest. Oh, and if you are young and in your 20s, save as much as you can now to the point of it, almost it being painful because that money, you save $5 now, that will be $50,000 when you're retiring. You're like, oh, I don't need to have lunch today. I bring my own sandwich and I will have $50,000 or I will work three less months when I'm 65.
Pretty much. It's
crazy.
This is advice that is very hard to... And I did not get that advice.
Yeah.
So I'm on the other end of the spectrum, or at least that I expect that. I have not looked at your retirement accounts, nor do I expect you to show them to me. But my assumption is that you're probably better off than I am. Based solely on the idea that you were with your wife at a much younger age than I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the same job.
Yeah. Same like family. Holly did well. Like she was making, you know, same order of magnitude of salary as I was.
Right. Right. Like same location, same office. You know, so you started like making this life together earlier with the double income.
Yeah.
And the same attitude of double saving and all this kind of stuff. So that has a large, large impact, I think. So if anybody's young and listening to this, I don't know how many young listeners we have because they're already having kids.
Yeah.
Man, that's the trick. But is teaching your kids, I mean, that's the main reason why I want to really emphasize that saving pile and be like, why are we doing this? What is this never touch this pile? Well, never really means and I tried to explain this to him already. Someday you're going to decide that your passion or the work that you want to do doesn't depend on the, shouldn't depend on the money you earn. A lot of people may not have a choice. A lot of people can get paid really well for the things they really like and good for them.
Yeah.
Someday you're going to want to work less. Someday you're going to want to maybe just travel. I don't know. Someday you're going to want to hang out with your grandkids.
Someday you're not going to be able to save as much. So that's where I'm at right now is I look at it and I'm like, I just feel bad that I'm not saving as much as I once was. But, you know, Holly's not having the same salary and I have now 4 kids to feed and 4 sets of activities and soccer
fees. Huge Lego sets to buy. Yep.
And what?
Giant Lego sets
and giant
to pay
Lego
for.
Sets to pay for. You know, and I do want to travel. And of course, now, you know, it's not, I'm not getting a double in a hotel room now. I got to get 2 hotel rooms or I got to get a suite. You know, we have to have a bigger car. And I know car, whatever, but I keep, I just got to remember not to say the car word. But I just have more expenses now than I once did, obviously, because kids, and my food bill is astronomical compared to what it would just be if it was Holly and I. They can eat so many Pop-Tarts. So it's different, right? So that's why you like, well, while you can save as much as you can. And that's still true for Holly and I, where we have more expenses and stuff, but we should still be saving as much as we can, right? Pay yourself first is another thing. And, you know, especially if you can shelter from the government, cause they're just going to blow it. Stupid Republicans.
That's right. The silly Republicans.
I mean, the Democrats, they're the tax people. Republicans, you know, are doing us wonders right now, cutting taxes.
They say that's true, but it's always the opposite. Yeah, it's very strange.
I don't know. It's very
Why
weird.
Why does that happen? Why do we talk about it as if the Republicans are the ones that like smaller government, spend less, and then they're the ones that always ruin the budget?
It's a crock of garbage. All of this politics stuff is. They you both want to spend money. They just want to spend it on different things. What?
They spend it on the military is what happens.
Well, that's what I just said. They want to spend it on different things, right?
Yeah, but they always spend more.
Who?
Republicans.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, you can look at historical in the U.S. It's like the deficit always goes up. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not a political science major.
Or a macroeconomic understander.
Some strange irony in there with the whole, like, yeah.
No, it's all, there's
let's not. There's a lot of good to serving your community.
Yeah.
In the form of both service and fiscal.
Yeah, so that I think that's a very important lesson. Like, you should give some of your money away. Like, it's a tricky message because you're like, you know, I worked for this, it's my money, why should I have to give it away? No,
I don't think so.
That's true. But at the same time, you are more fortunate than others, right? You have been given advantages and privileges, and I definitely don't want to get into that whole privilege conversation, but it's true, right? It comes down to, you were born into a situation, you've been brought up in a situation, you've given opportunities that not everybody will have. So it's just going to help people. And there are people out there that are in poverty, that are in need of food and shelter and the basic things of humanity, that you can help that. So,
yeah, indeed. And yeah. I don't think the kids have a problem with that at all. I mean, that's their nature. And they also didn't work for their allowance that we're just giving.
Well, that's true. Right?
They do think it's their money. Maybe they want to spend it. But if you exposed them, like say you had to walk through the city to Legoland in Boston there to pick up your $500 Lego set.
Yeah, never buy them right from the store. Come on, amateur.
And let's say you just walk under some bridge and they walk past a bunch of homeless people.
Yeah.
That's going to mess with their heads, right? Because they're going to ask you questions.
Yeah.
You're going to have to answer them. And they're probably going to turn around and give all the money they had for the Lego set to those people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, no, they're just going to buy booze with you. You can't do that. And then you get into this whole thing where you're like making bagged lunches and bringing to them instead of.
Yeah.
So, right? I mean, why don't I was working in the city last week and I didn't do anything, but I was really close to basically after I left for the week, I basically looked back and said, wait a minute, why didn't I pack up like little bagged lunches or something and just on my way back to the train hand them out?
Did you see homeless people while you were?
Yeah.
You did. Okay.
because I was going under a bridge.
Oh.
This is a legit example.
Yeah.
I, you know what it was? Part of I walked the other way, not to avoid them. It was longer going that way.
Okay.
Huge inconvenience, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the week, after I got home on the weekend, I'm like, wait, why didn't I... How hard would it have been for me to grab... I could have stolen all the food from work. Like, we have so much.
I know. Right?
I wouldn't even have gone to the grocery store. No one would have missed it.
It's absurd. Yeah.
I would have been like, hey, let's take some of this opulence, right?
Yeah.
I'll just grab a paper bag, stuff it full of energy bars and stuff and some sodas.
Yeah.
Boom. There you go. One for you, one for you, one for you.
Yeah. I think it's good to show, and you know, I took my older two to Haiti this year, and they saw this stuff firsthand. You know, this is water, right? You talk about the water, how we take water is something we obviously take for granted. Clean drinking water that comes out of the tap whenever we want it, that we wash ourselves with hot water, right? And then we just, you know, flush down the toilet, like, and we were so wasteful of it, but it's so readily available, and we're super spoiled to that. We're many, many places, majority of the world, in fact, doesn't have that, right? So. It's good to see like these people have to conserve it and they have to be careful with it and they have to treat it and all this other stuff. Like, so yes, I think it's good to expose your children to that. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to take your kid to the third world country. You can do it in your own community. So do it
under a bridge in the city. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And have the conversation and they're going to ask questions and the questions are going to be very coarse and raw. And why is that person, you know, sleeping on the street? And you're like, well, I don't know why, and I'm not going to know
have
why,
a hope.
But
Stuff like, well, can he move into our house? You're like, oh, yeah, come on.
Yeah, that's what the guy has a whole section in there, a whole conversation in the book about it.
One of them actually did it, right? So there was this whole example of a family whose daughter, they were super rich, and the daughter was like, how come we have such a big house? Can we sell our house and give the money to all these homeless people?
That was the girl that had an elevator to get to her room.
Right, she had an elevator to get to her bedroom or something, yeah. And they did it.
Yeah, they sold their house.
The family actually sold the house, bought a smaller house, and gave away the extra $1 million or something. Like, good for them.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the, I don't know where the cutoff is. Like at some point, I think people split where as they get richer and richer, they hit this fork in the road where they split off to the side of greed and all they want is more for them, or they split off to the side of sort of charity, and what's the better word for charity? There's a cool word for that.
I don't know.
They split off that direction, and they give it away. You know, you get your like. How I don't know how long it took Bill Gates to decide to give it away, because obviously he had like $65 billion, and then he started giving it away. It's like, all right, you could have waited. I mean, you waited a little bit long there, Chief. Like,
yeah.
After you hit a couple billion, you probably could have started. He probably was giving it away, but. That's quite a bit to hold on to.
Yeah, the Salwyn family of Atlanta. They lived in a 6,500 square foot Ansley Park mansion until their 14-year-old daughter pointed out that their overconsumption was totally lame. So you can find articles about them on The Power of Half. That was it. They wrote a book about it, their experience and everything. So yeah, you know, they sold their house, made more money, published it, you know, sold
a book, made more money. Yeah,
but good for them. They sold. You know, they did donate they had a $3 million house, I believe, and they sold it for way less than what it was worth because the market crashed. But they still gave, to their credit, they still gave $1.5 million away or something like that. So, but The Power of Half, that's another book. I can read so many of these books. But it's interesting. And yeah, 2018, we have like 10 minutes left, and we did get an email, and we're not going to record next week. Ooh. So I want to get to the email.
Okay.
2018, I think you're going to hear more about, money from our house, from this side of the mic also.
That's right. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Cause it's interesting. I want to see what my kids do with it. I use this show a little bit as an accountability partner, because people do write back to us and say, hey, whatever happened with, you know, and
that's right. And they're going to do that. Before you get into the email.
Yeah.
But interesting thing about the giving, at least my daughter is six.
Right.
And just about every dime she's received her entire life, she gives it to her brother. That's it.
Really?
She doesn't have anything in mind that she wants to spend it on. She doesn't even, it just doesn't even cross her mind that she can spend it. It's very strange. She just hands it to him. says, I want you to have this money. And he puts it right in his piggy bank.
Huh. All right.
And that's the end of it. And you're like, just, you sure you want to give it to him? She's like, yeah.
You guys let this happen and don't...
Yeah, it's hers to give.
All right.
So if we... when we split up the piles, if we do saving, giving, spend...
Yeah.
She obviously cannot give him her saving pile. Right? But she could totally give him her spend pile, but she can't give him her giving pile because he's not a charity.
All right.
So if she wanted to give him her spend pile, she could.
Yeah.
All right. It would be weird. But that, in a way, it's kind of corrupting her innocence by making her, you know, understand, like, no, you're giving him what he doesn't need.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you're right. Yeah,
that's, I think she's giving it to him because it makes her feel good, just because she thinks he wants, you know, can benefit from it. I don't know.
And what's going to happen when she realizes how much money she's given him? Is she going to be like, what? Start selling the stuff out of his room to the neighbors.
Yeah. Well, it's all in the past. It's gone. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, as I just said, we're not going to record next week. It's going to be the day after Christmas. I'm taking the week off. I hereby say, and we'll be traveling and stuff anyway. So, but we did get a mail from Franz Varga, and I think he's in somewhere in Copenhagen or Berlin, somewhere in Germany. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with that. I think it's okay. Actually somewhere in the Midwest.
That's Copenhagen, but not in Germany. Yeah.
What?
Denmark.
Oh, right. What's another city in Berlin? Munich. All right. I mean, in Germany. Yeah.
München. Yeah.
München. All right. Copenhagen and Berlin are where the offices are, but I knew it wasn't. I knew it was Denmark.
Whoa,
okay.
Whoa.
What?
Not supposed to. We have listeners. I'm going to bleep that out.
People know where we work. Okay. Yeah. You can find me on Facebook and find out where I work. Anywho, we've mentioned on the show before, anyways.
Now, like, some of our bosses are listening.
Are they?
Uh huh.
Well, you're wonderful, boss. You're doing great things.
Woo. Bang up job.
Okay. So Franz writes in, he says, hey, Jason and Randy, here, I had a few thoughts to share since it's been a whopping 2 months since writing in. Thank you. Yes. I will take a segue here. You can always write in dads@dadsbeingdads.com. Very easy. dads@dadsbeingdads.com.
Super, super easy.
Yes. I tried to make it they should have a dot, easy because I know we're all tired and can't remember what's going on, under caffeinated. So make it easy.
When they come up with that dad, we're getting the first one. What? dads@dadsbeingdads.dad.
I don't know. When they come up with the .dad domain, we should. Okay. He had a few thoughts. Oh, yeah. He just said that. So, yeah, I told you I'm over. Number one, I would absolutely get on a Google Hangout or something similar during the podcast recording. See? So the fans want people, this. The fan no,
we're
wants
not
this.
Chiming in with us. That's crazy.
What?
You're distracted enough as it is.
I'm on point. I'm focused. All right. Maybe we do it as an extra sometime or record it. I've seen people do that. They get their pay. You know what they do? One podcast I listen to, he has his Patreon supporters on. And once every couple weeks, he gets together with the Patreon supporter. He opens up a Google Hangout, and anybody that's a Patreon supporter can join in, and he records it, and then he publishes that. So that's sort of interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, number two, any thoughts on A Modest Proposal? If you didn't read it, then I'm crying right now while listening. Franz, I have a tissue. I didn't know what it was until I looked it up today. I will put it on my to-read list over the break. It's a satirical essay that was written by, the name escapes me. Oh, for crying out loud.
Children of poor people, parents of country, blah, blah, blah. I'm reading the artist's Jonathan Swift.
Jonathan Swift. Thank you. I know. Yeah, it was written in 1729. So I don't know how long it is.
Huh. Swift suggested that the impoverished Irish might ease their economic troubles by selling their children as food for rich gentlemen and ladies. I see, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know how long it is. The fact that you can check it out from a library makes me believe it's longer than I thought. So maybe I won't get it read, but sorry, I haven't read it.
I'm sorry as well. It's probably on the interwebs as well. Population.
Oh, here it is. I found it. It's 304 pages. So yeah, no promises. I'll get the sucker read.
All right. That's a lot of, satire and to read between shows. That's why we didn't finish it yet. It's too long.
Let me see if it's on Audible.
Oh, there you can listen to it.
It is. It's 24 minutes long. Wait, how can somebody read 304 pages in 24 minutes?
They must be tiny pages.
Maybe the 304 pages PDF is something wrong.
It doesn't make any sense. That means you're reading like one page every 10 seconds?
That's not right.
24.
Oh, these pages are weird. It's like prose.
No, you'd be reading one page like every 4 seconds. It's even worse than that.
Yeah, no, this is not something's amiss here.
Yeah, there's an abridged version. Anyway, go on.
All kinds of like, so no, we haven't read it. Okay. Maybe I missed it, and this is directed at you, but whose team was the victor of the Robot Fight Club? So I never did any of the robotics.
No, you did not.
No.
Your failure. The sumo robotics. We published a video. I could send we could put the link in the show notes. I posted a video. I think I sent it to you.
Oh yeah, you did.
Put music on it and everything. Although when I published it, the timing of the music got messed up, and that's very upsetting. I may republish it as a result. Usually what I do is when I make a video, I pick a song that goes with it, and then I kind of adjust it to time with the sound. Anyway, so there were two iterations of the sumo robot battle. The first iteration, both children, my son and another kid, used the same base of the robot. So the driving base, they call it with the EV3s, and then added accessories and sensors and whatnot. So the rules there were like they would have the similar traction, you know what I mean?
Yep.
You could still upend your opponent if you wanted to. Very much the other student won the most rounds with that robot. My son did not do a lot of prep work, and it showed, right? He put in very little time building his robot, thinking about it, and very little time writing the program for it. And he was crushed mercilessly. Now, round two, he learned his lesson. We spent a little more time together. Admittedly, I may have helped him to more than I would have wanted, although I believe the other dad also helped his son a lot more than I even did. And he built something much more elaborate. It was huge, and it was very low, and it was very flat, and it had 6 wheels on it, all in different configurations. And it was pretty much a beast, and it crushed his robot handedly. So, you know, one for one, or one and one, as far as rounds go.
All right.
So, yeah, that's that. Kids walked away happy. They had a lot of fun. We actually broke some Lego pieces.
Wait, really?
Yeah, during the sumo battle, some of the pieces actually snapped in half.
No.
Some of the connector pieces.
Like hinge pieces or something?
like the little circle ones that you use to hold, that go in the circles, like the cylinders that snap everything together.
Oh, okay. All right.
Some of those sheared in half.
No way. That's a pretty impressive.
Terwilliger, the other kid's robot, actually like crashed software-wise during one of the battles. We counted that as a loss.
Uh-huh.
Like it just froze. We had to take the battery pack out.
Really? All right.
It's very strange.
Huh.
But it was fascinating. They had a lot of fun.
I can't believe you broke the Lego pieces. That means you had to hit those pretty hard. Then.
Well, it was a lot of torque and
know,
ramming at weird angles. And it was fun.
That's
would good. I do it again? Yeah, build another iteration. It'd be really fun to do if we had more kids and different robots so we could keep rotating who goes against who.
Yeah.
I could talk for an hour about the strategy of the robot and the sensors, but I won't.
So part of my hang up on this thing was, I think I've told you, like I didn't want, you have a printed document, right? They're using off of paper.
We did in the beginning, sure.
Oh, so you don't? Oh, right. So I downloaded some of the files or whatever. I found them on the Lego site, right? Lego Education. We're going to go over tonight. Thank you for listening. We're probably going to be an extra 10 minutes because I've read the next question. And Randy's going to have some things to say about it. But so I was at Staples and I was like, well, how much does it cost to get these things printed? And right before we went over there, my son and I, he was on the Lego site looking at a different Lego set, instructions, like building something else. I was like, so I take the thing to Staples. I'm like, well, how much does it cost to print a document? Okay. It's this much with the binding, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, how much would it be to do this one? And I'm like, I have one on a thumb drive here. Can you check it out? He's like, oh, sure. Let me plug it in. He puts it in, immediately scrolls to the bottom of the first page. He's like, I can't touch it. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you see that? It's copyright by Lego. I can't print it.
Why were you having him print it?
Because I wanted to have like a booklet.
Why don't you just print it at home?
Because I wanted to have it bound. Like I wanted to, you know, I can print it and fine. It's just, it was like 30 pages. Right. I was like, if I just print this out, then I'll have it. And then the other kids can work through it or whatever. We can have it around. And, you know,
I'll tell you, I actually really liked having the, they went through the instructions on the computer for most of them.
Yeah.
Because if you open it in the PDF and they do the full page turns,
okay,
it's kind of like a, you get like a flipbook effect where they can see exactly what's changing from page to page.
Oh. Oh, really?
Because it's because it doesn't move. It's exactly in the same place on the screen, and you go flip, 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 flip. You can go back and forth. Right. Like, oh, there it is.
Well, that was the thing. I was like, maybe I just walked, when we just left the house, he was looking at the computer screen, looking at the Lego thing, going back and forth to the Legos. Maybe this is just my own hang up in my 42 years and never using computer. Maybe he's just used to this already. So maybe I don't need to do this, and I should just.
Oh, no, it's probably better that way. I was doing it with them all the time, going like, what are you, you're looking at the screen, you're trying to figure out what's changed or what things putting at. Just go up, down, and keep flipping back and forth because it'll jump out at you.
It was funny, though. The Staples guy scrolled to the bottom of the first page immediately, looked at the copyright, and said, I can't touch this. I can't print it. He's like, if you come to me with the 30 pages printed, I can bind it for you. But he's like, we're making money off the printing. And because it's copyright, then he's like, Lego would come after us, basically, with lawyers. Right. He's like, Disney's the worst. They won't even talk to us. They'll send a lawyer out. I'm like, oh, my goodness. He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm sorry. The guy was super apologetic. He's like, I'm really sorry. I can't do this. Can't do this. But I'm like, no, I understand. If it's copyright, I get it. I'm like, even if it's for my own use, he's like, yeah, it's because we're making money off the printing that we can't do it. I'm like, all right, well, then fine.
You have to give all the money to Disney. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, we can make money off the binding. We just can't make money off the printing. So that was interesting. So we haven't really gotten into it. I got grand plans for next week. I'm off Friday through the following Tuesday. So I'm off 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 days. I'm off 11 days. I have grand plans. Oh. You know what I'm going to get done?
Nothing.
Yeah. I've got a list. I told my wife, I'm all stressed out about next week. She's like, what are you stressed out about? I'm like, I've got all this stuff I need to get done and I'm not going to get any of it done. She's like, well, let's just plan it out. I'm like, all right, well, we'll figure it out.
Just erase the list and then you'll be happy.
Well, I try to be like, oh, you know what? I decided to sit down and be like, all right, let's do this. And I like, what do you guys want to do next week? And my son just was like, I want to ski. I don't want to ski by myself. I don't want my sisters to come. I want to ski by myself. I'm like, what? Like, is that, that was the plan just immediately got derailed. He's like, I want to go Saturday. I'm like, it's supposed to be raining on Saturday. We're not going to skiing. It's going to be terrible. I want to go Saturday. I want to go none of my siblings. I want to go by myself. And he's just like going, I'm like, oh, this is not the way I wanted this to go. But we had a better conversation tonight in the car, actually, about something else. So,
Ooh, in the car.
Well, I went to get Grace, and parents always. I've always heard like car time. You're one on one with the kid. You can't. So I tried to talk to him a little bit tonight, and it worked out. It was good. So
okay, good.
You know, on his terms.
I don't want to sound like a weird punk about it, but it's I picked up. I don't.
What?
Like I don't go anywhere in the car with the kids. I don't say this to sound all smug and jerky about it. I almost can't relate to this anymore.
Yeah.
Because I picked the kids up from the Boys and Girls Club tonight on the back of my cargo bike. And so the two of them are sitting back there while we're riding home and we're chit-chatting.
Well, it's the same. You can relate. You have a captive audience because there's nothing else to do in the car, right?
It's similar, except it's also harder to hear them.
Well, I
think it's probably easier to hear them in the car because you get this like silence dome around you and every,
cage. So number four. So this is why we're going to go over. I know we're at like an hour right now, but we're going to go over. So suck it up. Probably be 10 minutes. Number four says, starting a new job in January that's closer to my house and looking into biking to work. France? Have either of you tried the fat bikes? Worth it? Or should I just take the bus?
Wait, fat bike or bus? That was the option?
Yeah, apparently. Is he in Madison? I think so.
I think this is Wisconsin guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the two Wisconsin guys, right? Yeah.
Oh boy. Well,
first of all, have you tried the fat bike? The answer is,
yeah.
Do you have one?
I do have one.
Do you love it?
I do love it.
Yeah, I know. You just put a thing on Facebook about, I miss this bike. This bike's awesome.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, in that sense, I do love it. I mean, it was put away for a while.
Yeah.
Because I loved the cargo bike and I was loving the cargo bike for a while. I'm like sort of a bike polygamist, you could call it.
Whoa. I don't know what you're doing with these things, but all right. We're getting there. We're getting there. Thanks, Democrats.
So I've refined my biking advice over the years here, and I'll start with this. He's getting a new job, he says.
Yeah.
Did he say how far away it was?
No, and so this is why I have trouble giving advice.
Okay. Then I have a range.
Oh, you do?
If your job is less than 5 miles from your home.
Yeah.
Yes, always bike. 100% of the time.
Okay.
No exceptions rain, sleet, or snow. Should you use a fat bike to do it? Maybe. I mean, if you have fun on it, you could ride a fat bike 5 miles, no problem, summer, spring, winter, whatever. But here's what I will tell you. Normal weather, you're going to get kind of sick of the big tire bike with a big knobby tractor tires going on the pavement. You look like an idiot and you sound like an idiot. Trust me, I've done it, right? Because it just makes a lot of noise. Most of the time, you want a bike with smooth tires, big tires. The bigger that you still want big tires, like 2-inch, 2.5-inch tires. They're super cool looking. They're squishy, so they take bumps out of the road. 2.5-inch.
You're not going to get pinch flats.
You're not going to get flats yet. Yeah. 2-inch tires are nice. You can let a little bit of air out of them. Nice and smooth. Run some of the balloon tires, they call them these days. The big apples. They're on like everything now, these Schwalbe big apple tires. Throw some fenders on that bike. Throw some lights on it, and you're golden. Up until the ground freezes and covered with snow. So if you're in Wisconsin, yeah, you got to deal with that, right? Now, fat tire bike, what is it good for? Well, it's, you know, I mean, I'd say I wouldn't have it as your only bike. That shouldn't be your commuter bike. If you're going to ride straight through the winter, the most important thing you can get, especially if there are bike trails that are cleared and that sort of thing for you, still going to get icy, is a set of studded tires. So you could examine that. I would say start in the spring, whatever. Maybe you're going to start in the winter because you're going to move now. You could examine that more closely. You're going to have to experiment, go through some trial and error on your own.
Well, I'd like to make the point here that he is asking, it is Madison, it's winter, and he's starting a new job in January. So I think that's why he's asking about the fat tire, because they're known to go on the snow, right? That's what they were originally made for.
Yeah, but the problem is, sure. The problem is that that's not what you're going to get. Like, unless one day you're going to have some fresh powdery snow, and you'll be like, wee, I'm riding in powdery snow on my fat bike. Hey. And then the next day, all that powdery snow is going to be sheets of black ice in the gutter or footprint-shaped ice mounds that people stepped on, and you're going to die. Because no matter how big the tires are, they will slide on ice. In fact, the fat tires will probably slide more quickly.
No.
You cannot ride on ice on a bicycle, is my point.
Okay, yes. That's also true. I agree with that.
Unless you have studded tires. So that's where...
Yes.
Now, full disclosure... I basically have one. I have like 6 bikes. I use two of them mostly, right? I even kicked one of them sort of out because I hated it.
Which one did you kick out?
The Trek with the continuous shifter that I spent a lot of money on for the rear wheel. Yeah. So now I use the fat bike and I use the cargo bike as my 2 primary bikes. Come winter time. Actually, right around Thanksgiving, I put studded fat tires on the fat tire bike. They're very expensive. You can, you know, if you want to buy them, fine. Just giving you some heads up. Then it sits there until it snows. Then when it snows or it ices, I can switch and I can ride the bike with studded tires and not have to worry about it. Right? And then as the winter progresses and it gets late enough where like every day it's below freezing.
Holy crap, you're not kidding. They are expensive.
Yeah, they are.
It's like $250 for a pair.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, maybe if not more.
Well, right. That's the cheapest that's on this. All right. Yeah, or $175 for one here. Well, okay, go on.
Yeah. Then once it gets below freezing, I put the studded tires on the cargo bike or the other bike. So now both bikes have studded tires.
Okay.
So I'm fully equipped for winter. And on a day like today, where it was sort of cold in the morning, the road was kind of icy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like much, but there's ice all the way.
Oh, yeah, there was. Yeah. I
know. And it's great. Right? Studs just eat right through it. On the way home, everything had melted, and I'm basically grinding these carbide teeth on the asphalt.
Yeah.
Which is fine. They're carbide.
Yeah.
But it's not as fun as summer, for sure. When you're riding, if you do it for fun in the woods, on the snow, on a trail, it's much more fun.
Yeah.
If you're doing it as like a commuting, it's kind of gross, because it's just, it's rough and it's hard.
Man, that's, you know, I've known you for over 4 years now, and it's taken you this long to admit that sometimes... It's just not fun.
I meant the studded tires aren't fun.
Yeah, you meant that. Yeah.
They're much more rigid than the... when I switched them on the cargo bike, it's like the cargo bike had these nice balloony soft tires.
Yeah.
And now it has these like rock hard metal studded tires. It's awful.
Did you buy Schwalbe Marathon winter studded 26 tires?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
$68. So they're a lot cheaper than the $100 cheaper. For, but yeah, wow, expensive. What about the bus?
What?
What about the bus?
Yeah, take the bus. Fine.
Yeah.
I would go back and forth between the two.
Yeah.
I like that those were his two options. You didn't mention driving in there anywhere.
Yeah, no. Well, I don't. Yeah, you know, I'm outside. I'm outside that 5 mile range.
Take the bus. Take the bus, dude. Yeah, yeah, totally.
I'm outside the 5 mile range. I wish I did bike more to work. My schedule just, I can't even ride my motorcycle. I've lamented this.
Go on. I mean, sell your motorcycle. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. I really need to, because I've lamented this. I'm neither doing drop off or pick up, or I have some gear that I have to go then right to soccer practice afterward, or it's every day.
We're talking about Franz here. I think it's good to have two. I think it's nice having both options. So if you want to buy yourself a fat bike, by all means, buy it. Especially if you're going to be like, hey, you know, I'm going to ride it to work. And I'm close, and it's fun. They're real fun bikes. You can fill them up with air, and they'll ride a little quicker. You're not going to go fast on them in the summer.
I still couldn't keep up with you in the woods when you were on your fat tire bike. So
in the woods, it's different because you're rolling over stuff. But on like pavement, it's not a pavement bike.
Well, you'll get yourself in shape. I still couldn't keep up with you.
Sure,
but yeah,
you need to ride more. Yeah. But do it. There's no point. I don't think this. If you're planning on commuting at all in the foreseeable future, you're thinking to be at this job, just pull the trigger. You can always sell it.
Yeah.
Right? Just get it. And if you're like, it's really hard to commute in the winter, then take the bus. Wait for the snow to clear. Then ride it. And then take the bus. And then ride it some more. And then take the bus. Go back and forth.
Do it, man. One last thing. To quote Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other and party on, dudes. With that... Merry Christmas and cue the music. Thank you for listening to our show. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at dads@dadsbeingdads.com. We're on Facebook too, /dadsbeingdadspodcast. All four words, all jammed together. Or search Dads Being Dads Podcast. You can find us. Throw us a like and some comments. And of course, iTunes. Send us a review and some sweet, sweet stars. Twitter too, but we'll have to get back on that. But you can find us.